Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Well, tonight's the night, right? Y'all excited? Jesus, this is like Michael Phelps going for his 8th gold medal, right? Hey, Hillary Clinton's going to address the convention tonight. And all of her Puma followers are going to be out there in the audience just cheering. You go, girl. You go, girl. Those damn Democrats stole it from us. Yeah, that's probably true. I kind of sort of wrote about this today in my mini blog over at Nova M. Well, it's not a mini blog. It's a matter of fact, it's pretty lengthy at novamradio.com in the Malloy section. And I didn't see this last night when it was live, but somebody sent me the link today. So I took a look at Chris Matthews on Hardball last night trying to deal with a couple of Hillary diehard supporters. These people are starting to remind me, I know this is a cliche, they're starting to remind me of these Japanese soldiers that were found 35, 40 years after the war, still hiding out on islands in the Pacific, you know, waiting for the American invaders. But I want to play this for you. This is outside the Democratic Convention Center yesterday. It's Chris Matthews on MSNBC interviewing a couple of Hillary supporters. They were holding a banner that said, Clinton's for McCain. This makes a lot of sense. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this whole Puma thing, party unity my ass is what it stands for. This is a Karl Rove operation. I honestly believe these two women that you're about to hear are Republican Party operatives. You don't think that's possible? After what these filthy, piggish Republicans have done to our political system, please don't put it past them to put together an organization called the Pumas to insist that Hillary Clinton. I mean, they're using Hillary Clinton ads in the McCain or Hillary Clinton comments in the McCain ads. It's Republicans are filth to begin with. They are the stuff that you scrape off your shoes after you've walked through Midtown Manhattan. It's really or a field out here in the North Georgia mountains. They are really vile. These are the people who insisted that the vote counting stop in Florida. They'll stop at nothing. I think every Republican ought to be waterboarded for at least how long did what's his name last? 17 minutes. Or 17 seconds, I'm sorry, Christopher Hitchens. So let's take every Republican operative and waterboard them, because it's not torture. It's just, you know, a little bit of water in the face. Let's waterboard every single Republican operative and see if they can beat Hitchens' record. You know, they have to stay under the flow of water for 18 seconds until they confess that they are the ones behind the Party Unity My Ass group that you know, just absolutely insists on fractioning or fractionalizing or fracturing, whatever the hell the word is, the Democratic Party. Not that I'm, you know, all that concerned about it. It's great street theater, a little scummy, but it's still street theater. But it's that righteous indignation of Republicans, the Republican operatives who try to pretend that they're working for a righteous cause when they're not. They're working for totalitarianism. They're working for corporatism. They're working for an end to this republic as we know it, replaced by a super nanny state. Only the nanny will come dressed in an SS uniform and have great big biceps and just kick the bejesus out of anybody who gets out of line. But that's what Republicans need. Republicans love to be told what to do, and they also love to be whipped and spanked and beaten if they don't do what they're supposed to do. That's part of that Christian upbringing crap. But anyway, Having said all that, listen to these two women who are voting for McCain because Obama was registered as a Muslim in Indonesia. Now, when you hear these two halfwits talking, you can hear a bunch of Obama supporters in the background shouting, Obama, Obama. It was all kind of fun.
Clinton's for McCain. Well, we're with a coalition called Just Say No Deal. We have about 3 million people who are Hillary supporters who didn't like how the Democratic process played out during the primaries, and this is our way of protesting. We feel like our party's got lost, and we want our party back.
My name is Christy Adkins. I'm Clinton's for McCain. I'm an independent. And while some people may have an open mind and they feel comfortable voting for a man who went to a Madras Muslim school when he was younger, the Clintons for McCain feel like we were really
wait. What evidence? Just before you put out that information, what evidence do you have that he went to a Muslim school?
I have a 17-page report written by a congressional investigator.
A 17-page report.
And what are the consequences? No, just a minute. Do you believe this? Do you believe he's a Muslim?
I am not. No, we didn't say he was a Muslim.
He went to a Muslim
we
school.
We said he was registered as a Muslim in Indonesia.
Kill!
What are the consequences?
We're not wrong.
If you're wrong, what are the consequences? So you're betting your house?
I'm dealing with hypotheticals.
You're betting,
I think
you're
that's
betting
stupid.
Your house. What evidence? Give me the name of the newspaper
people
you wrote this.
People like me were not voting for him. It's not a newspaper. It came from a congressional investigator.
By who? By which one?
I'm not going to tell you. You want the report? If you want
name,
the report,
you just
I will
went on national television and said the guy went to a Muslim school.
I
went
did
to
not.
Madrasa
I said
school.
He went to a school in Indonesia and he was
no,
a registered Muslim.
Okay, where do you have that evidence from?
Would you like to see the report? I'll be glad to email you.
Tell us now.
I already
what
did.
Congressional
we,
committee
I already did.
Was.
Maybe you can't hear. Should we clean
no,
it
I,
up?
No, I want to know what congressional committee.
We have on record with his name as a Muslim on his school record when
in
he got enrolled in Indonesia.
We also have a court order right now. There's an injunction against the DNC right now.
Where did you get
that he is not qualified
from?
To be the president of the United States.
You said you have an investigative report of Congress.
I said
which
a congressional,
federal,
a former congressional investigator.
A former congressional
right.
investigator. Who's
right.
working for who?
I'm not going to tell you that. I told you I would be happy to tell you.
My God, don't you just love our voice? We have a report. We have a 17-page report. It's written by a former congressional investigator. We have his report. Show it to me. No, I'm not going to show it to you. I'm not going to tell you about it, but we have a report. He was the one that registered. Now, you tell me, truth seeker, isn't that a Karl Rove operation? These two nutballs who got on the Chris Matthews program, As weird and screwy as the Democratic Party is, these two would be tarred and feathered and dropped in a shopping mall someplace. I mean, this it's astonishing. Oh, my God. These are Hillary Clinton supporters? Really? Is that true? Couldn't be. Could it? Nah. They didn't have anything to say about Hillary. They're talking about Barack. Oh, no, he went to a Muslim school. This whole thing is a Karl Rove operation. It's a Republican worm operation. They're like a tapeworm. Somehow they got into the body of the Democratic Party, into this convention, and they're eating the intestinal walls out, even as we watch. Presenting a brief here for the Democratic Party. They brought this on themselves by continuing to be a bunch of corporate half-asses. The Democrats could have stopped this a long time ago by being Democrats. But no, all right, this is the outcome. This is the outcome. But these are not Hillary Clinton supporters. These are swine. These are little piglets that have been recruited by Karl Rove. Get over there on the Chris Matthews program. He'll take you. Get over there on the Chris Matthews program and talk about, pretend like you're going to talk about Obama being a Muslim, or talk about Hillary getting screwed and then turn into Obama being a Muslim. Go, 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 sweeties. Go, go, go. Oh, Jesus. It's just so bizarre. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour. The real madness coming out of the McCain campaign, whatever you want to call it, is based on his being a prisoner of war. He doesn't mention that he was a rat while he was a prisoner of war. I think he gave up everybody, including his own mother. But any issue that's brought up, McCain ducks behind the POW thing. The latest, of course, was the number of houses he had. And his standard answer here is, there was a long time I didn't have a house. Well, what do you think about the health care? Well, there's a long time I didn't have health care. I was a prisoner of war. What do you think about the death penalty? Well, there's a long time I didn't think about the death penalty because I was a prisoner of war. What about God? Well, there's a long time that, I used to write God's name in the dirt because I was a POW. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Everything this guy says, you know. What do you know about the Internet? Well, I didn't know about the Internet because I was a prisoner of war for 5.5 years. Well, what about pork chops? The last time I had pork chops was right before I was shot down, became a prisoner of war. What about boogers in your nose? Well, you know, it was hard to pick boogers out of my nose because I had shrapnel because I was a POW. Jesus God! I mean, the guy won't stop, right? Everything. You know, you obviously know why that is, because there's no issue he can run on. What the hell can he run on? I'm going to continue doing what Bush did, my friends. I'm going to do everything Bush did, my friends, only worser. I was a POW. Jesus Christ, I'm crazy, too. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Can't you see I'm crazy? Look at me. I've got a humongous on my face, or there's something growing in it. I don't know what it is. Started to eat my tongue yesterday. God, will this stop? My little stubby arms won't come up. I was a POW, you know. I was. Oh. You know, and you sit there. I sit here, and I look at this, and I think, this guy wants to be president? If this happens, if McCain is president, what? What, Malloy? What? Quick, quick, quick. If this guy becomes president, I would fully expect that the NATO countries are going to attack us. They are. And Russia's going to join them. And the Chinese. There's going to be a meeting. If he wins the election, McCain, there's going to be a meeting. Russia and China and the NATO countries. And a couple of countries from Africa. And maybe Venezuela. Japan. Probably New Zealand. Australia. They're going to get together. They're going to have a meeting. The foreign ministers are going to say, okay, it's time. We have to wipe this cancer off. Time for radiation therapy, if you know what I mean. This guy is insane. He's out of his mind. I mean, Bush was a dolt and a jerk and a coke-using party boy. This guy, John McCain, is mad. Barking mad. Totally insane. I don't know what drugs they're giving him to keep it under control. But I can't wait. I really can't wait for this. I can't wait. So there's a debate between Obama. I think he's a great debater. I just, you know, he is what he is. He's a corporate Democrat. That's all. You people misunderstand completely, don't you? You just completely misunderstand. I've said it over and over again. The lesser of two evils certainly is Obama. He's not a liberal Democrat. That's all I've said. He's not a progressive. He's a corporate Democrat, okay? Unwad your panties, for God's sake. But I can't wait until that day when McCain and Obama share a stage and Obama starts slicing and dicing this old white man, and he's going to lose it. McCain's going to lose it on stage. You know he's going to lose it. He's going to call Obama a gook. Watch. It'll happen. It'll happen. I was a POW, you know, my friends, and this gook is oh, I didn't mean to say that. You know it's going to happen, and I want to be around to see it. Oh, dear God, S. I want to be around to see it. I want to see McCain and Barack Obama on the same stage. You talk about a great getting up morning. I lust after that moment. I desire that moment. I have dreams about that moment. I really do. But I was a POW, my friend. But I want you to hear, as soon as we come back from this this break, insane McCain playing the PO card, POW card again and again and again on Leno last night. Leno asked him, for $1 million, how many houses do you have? It's a Jay Leno joke. You'd have to watch that garbage to understand it and appreciate it. And I used to. Yes, I did. I used to watch Jay Leno, only in the times that I've been unemployed. But when you hear this, when you hear how McCain answers, maybe you've already heard it. Maybe you stayed up last night and watched Jay Leno. I don't know. But you'll hear it again then, as soon as we come back from the break. But it's crazy. It's just crazy. McCain is literally, not figuratively, not metaphorically, he is insane.
The lunatic is in my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Train 25 before the hour. Okay, in a moment, I'm going to share with you why McCain. I'll give you some examples why McCain is just mad, just barking mad. I mean, this guy really, really, really does belong heavily medicated in a rubber room someplace where he can't harm himself or anyone else. But he is truly insane. Here he is last night on Leno's program, and I don't know if you can hear the first question, but Leno says, for $1 million, how many houses do you have? Listen to this.
Senator John McCain, for $1 million, how many houses do you have?
You know, could I just mention to you, Jay, that in a moment of seriousness, I spent 5.5 years in a prison cell I didn't have a house. I didn't have a kitchen table. I didn't have a table. I didn't have a chair.
I didn't have a lamp.
And I spent those 5.5 years.
I didn't have a sink. I didn't have a bathroom.
Because I wanted to get a house when I got out.
I didn't have toilet
and
paper.
You know, I'm very proud of Cindy's father.
What?
He was a guy that barely got out of high school, fought in World War II in the Army Air Corps, came home.
Joined the mafia.
And made a business.
Joined
and
the mafia. Yeah.
Dream.
Made the American dream.
And so somehow, you've had Cindy on this show.
Right, right.
And the fact is that she's extremely generous. She goes around the world doing humanitarian stuff. She's now in Georgia as we speak, looking at the humanitarian aspects of the results of this Russian invasion.
Trying to open a beer franchise.
I'm proud of my life and my record. And we spend our time in a condominium in Washington, a condominium in Phoenix, sometime over here in the state of California, and we have a place up in northern Arizona.
Yeah, and over
and my
there,
friends,
we have some there.
I'm proud of my record of service to this country.
Yeah, it has
and it has nothing to do with houses. What it has to do with putting Americans in houses and keeping them in their homes. And that's what I know how to do.
Yeah! Big America's all right! Yeah.
That sounded like five houses. Okay, I had five in the pool.
My God. I'm proud of Cindy. She went blind when she was 30, so we did an eye transplant on her. It's just too bad that, you know, we live in Arizona, my friends, and the only thing that was transplantable into her head were iguana eyes. And other than that, though, she's very generous, you know. She's over in Georgia right now looking for orphan babies to pose with or something. I don't know. God, I just love her so much. I really do. And our houses. And her dad, great guy. Yeah. You know, he just, you get in his way, he'll have you whacked. I mean, it's just, you know, that's my kind of guy. Hey, I'm Cindy's father. I'm going to kill you when I count to three. One, three, you're dead. Jesus God. McCain, John McCain, is insane. Robert Perry, writing today at consortiumnews.com, talks about what a McCain victory would mean. What a McCain victory would mean. He says there are plenty of dots to connect about McCain. And what comes up when you connect those dots is the image of a warlike empire so full of hubris that it could take the world into a cascade of crises while extinguishing what is left of the noble American Republic. Yeah, that's true. But you know, Robert Perry, who I deeply respect, consortiumnews.com is probably the most important website out there. But I would just tiny little teeny bit, can I disagree just a little bit, Robert? What is left of the noble American Republic, at least you do qualify it, don't you? But you know, is Obama going to be any different? Well, Obama probably won't be as blatant, but oh, God. Anyway, as Perry says, McCain has made it clear he would continue and even escalate Bush's open-ended global war on Islamic radicals. McCain, you see, just digs his claws into that neocon vision of wasting our money and having our young men die in order to kill as many Muslims as possible. You heard those two so-called Clinton for McCain types. I don't know if they were for Clinton and now they're for McCain. You bet your ass they're for McCain. That's what they talk about. Oh, he's a Muslim! Perry says, McCain's tough talk. For instance, his joking about bomb, bomb, bomb Iran and his vow to pursue bin Laden to the gates of hell is indistinguishable from Bush's, bring him on, smoke him out, dead or alive. Right? Huh? But beyond the words, McCain's global war strategy is more hawkish than Bush's. In late 2001, early 2002, McCain took the lead in pushing the neocon plan of a turning away from the invasion of Afghanistan because there's nothing there except rocks and camels and opium. But in Iraq, Earl, lots of Earl. So McCain was advocating that there be a diversion of U.S. military assets towards Saddam Hussein, who, as some of you know, or maybe you don't, I don't know anymore, Saddam Hussein, who had nothing to do with 9/11. That was Bush's business partners, the Saudis. They had everything to do with 9/11. Maybe even as much as Bush did. But as Perry says, that pivot from Afghanistan to Iraq may go down as one of the worst national security blunders in the history of the United States. Why? Because it's trapped our military in two indefinite wars. It is fueling anti-Americanism around the world, and especially among the billion-plus Muslims. Huh? How about that? And McCain wants to make it worse. Much worse. Much worse. McCain and his allies in the neocon crazy rubber bungalows have never acknowledged that the attack on Iraq was a serious error of judgment, as Perry writes, nor has the mainstream U.S. news media demanded that McCain accept responsibility for this catastrophic mistake. Now, Perry is not suggesting here that we depend on U.S. news media to do anything except pick its own nose. But as Perry says, McCain instead gets away with boasting about the supposed success of the recent U.S. troop surge in Iraq. Yeah, the surge worked. And that's immaterial. Whatever standard you're using to judge the effectiveness of the surge, the ethnic cleansing that occurred between Sunnis and Kurds and Shia has finally reached the point of diminishing returns. But today, just today, just today, it happened again. Huh? Didn't it? Did you hear it on the news tonight? No, they don't report it anymore. Suicide bomber blew himself up. 25 people died, attack on a group of Iraqi police recruits, scores wounded. It doesn't matter anymore. Never reported. Why? Because the surge worked. It did. It really did. So as U.S. Press Corps gives cover to the Iraq War and all the murderous aspects of it, the larger failure, as Robert Perry says, the larger failure of U.S. policy goes substantially unaddressed. We don't care. This is the Olympics. God damn it, we can beat them. We get in there and beat them. Right, generals? Huh? We're going to beat them. We're going to get the gold medal. We're going to beat them. What does victory in Iraq look like? What does victory in Afghanistan look like? What is it? Somebody, I'll take emails. I'll take a show of hands. Whatever. Write it down. What constitutes victory in Afghanistan? We have 30,000 U.S. troops there, maybe 40,000. Nobody ever knows. We have NATO troops there. What constitutes victory? Does the wanton killing of another 60 children last Friday, is that equal success? 90 people blown into red mist, 60 of them children, says who, Malloy? Says the UN. Says the toy government that we prop up in Afghanistan. Says the Taliban. Says the people whose family members were butchered by our air attack. 60 children slaughtered. Is that victory? Hell, McCain loves that. That's what he did over Vietnam. He wasn't a fighter pilot, he was a bomber pilot. My friends, incredible. Now, potentially even worse, as Perry points out, the Bush-McCain neocon neglect of Afghanistan has contributed to what has happened in Pakistan. Remember what Pakistan has. Lots of bombs. All nuclear. It also has the safe havens for Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and the people who want nothing more than to get as many Americans as they can and kill them, behead them, chop them into little pieces for what we have done to them. And another casualty of a McCain presidency would be the all-volunteer army. You know this as well as I do. McCain says, no, I'm against restoration of the draft. It's impossible, impossible for him to wage all the wars and do all the militarism he wants without a draft. Only it'll be like the Israeli draft. Every man and woman reaches age 18 into the military now. Oh, there's more. There's more. Stick around. I know I'm screaming. So what? It's entertaining. It's like watching a rabbit monkey in a cage.
Life is short. Talk is cheap. Don't be making promises that you can't keep. If you don't like this little song I'm singing, just grin and bear it. All I can say is if the shoe fits a rat and you must keep talking, please try to make it rhyme. Because your man is on vacation and your mouth is working.
truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer. More Mike Malloy.
There must be over 50 10 before the hour. Oh, my God. I'm watching this guy. Is it Mark Warner giving the keynote address at the... at the convention? Oh, my God, this is the keynote. Please. We're talking about Robert Perry's a piece at consortiumnews.com today, what a McCain victory would mean. The last one I mentioned right before the break, McCain would certainly have to reinstitute a draft, which might be a good thing because then people would get off their asses and try to stop this craziness. McCain also has made it very clear that he favors a new Cold War confrontation with Moscow over another part of the so-called neocon agenda, and that is the encircling of Russia with pro-U.S. regimes and the placement of these strategic missile systems practically on Russia's borders, which we've already begun. They want war with Russia. Russia responded today, didn't they? What did Russia say today? Abkhazia and Ossetia, you're free! We recognize you as independent countries. Yay, yay! Just like we did with Kosovo, right? Huh? We'll get to that later tonight. According to Robert Perry, the combined price tag for McCain's military adventures would be about $500 billion. We're already $500 billion in debt. The price tag would mean that virtually every other national priority would have to be shortchanged or neglected or stopped. There'll be no money left to address the energy crisis, global warming, retooling the auto industry, healthcare, social security, education, infrastructure repairs, on and on and on. Plus, as Perry writes, as U.S. solidifies itself under President McCain as a militaristic empire, the remnants of the old republic will be swept away. And since McCain's idea of war would never end, like Bush's, the founder's vision of a republic with checks and balances and all people possessing inalienable rights, all would be negated by an all-powerful president who could do whatever he wished to anyone who got in the way. So, Perry writes, in many ways, the McCain presidency would represent the logical culmination of America's failure to heed Dwight Eisenhower's parting warning about the growing power of the military-industrial complex. And Benjamin Franklin, remember what he cautioned at the end of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, that the founders had created a republic, quote, if you can keep it, end quote. McCain represents the end of everything. Do you understand that? McCain might be the Antichrist. We're about out of time, but I want to hear some of Mark Warner. Can you bring that up, please? This is Mark Warner addressing the Democratic Convention. Listen to this ballster.
To get ahead. And with that success comes a responsibility to make sure that others can follow. I think we're blessed to be Americans.
Oh, yeah.
But with that blessing... with that blessing comes an obligation to our neighbors and to our common good. So you give every child the tools they need to succeed. That means quality schools, access to health care, safe neighborhoods, not just because it's the right thing to do, of course it is, but because if those kids do better, we all do better. And it doesn't really matter. You can be soft-hearted or hard-headed. Both are going to lead you to the same place. We're all in this together. That's what this party believes. That's what this nation believes. That's what Barack Obama and Joe Biden believe.
Well, not all of us, Mark. The rich people aren't in this.
And we can do it. We can do it. Sure we can.
Yeah.
When I became governor, this is what Virginia faced. A massive budget shortfall, an economy that wasn't moving, gridlock in the Capitol. Now, does that sound familiar? So what did we do? working together, a Democratic governor with a 2-to-1 Republican legislature, and a whole lot of good folks who didn't see themselves as Democrats or Republicans, but as Virginians. We closed the budget gap, and Virginia was named the best-managed state in the nation. We made record investments.
All right. The one good thing you did, Governor Warner, was you got rid of Jerry Falwell. Can't you do anything with the other one, the Christian Coalition thug? Ah, that was such a stirring speech. I'm ready to go sign up. For what? I don't know. Whatever. Is he selling pots and pans?
I think it's nasal spray.
Nasal spray? I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be such a pissed off freak cynic. I really am. But you know what you're watching if you're watching this. When he talks about we're all in this together, surely Mark Warner is kidding. We are not in this all together. And we haven't been for decades. And anyone who doesn't believe that, all you have to do is take two trips. Two. One to the rich suburbs in Northern Virginia, outside Washington, D.C., go through there first, and then go to any neighborhood in Detroit. And then you have the audacity to tell me that we're all in this together. That's a filthy lie. That's a goddamn lie. And everybody knows it. So why are the Democrats standing up there saying we're all in this together? And you want to take it even further? Take a trip to Dubai. Take a look at what the world's elite have put together there. And where did the world's elite get the money? From you, truth seeker. Ah, from all of us. We're all in this together. No, we're not, Mark. We're not all in this together at all. All right, we're going to take Hillary Clinton live. She's supposed to start at 10:30. We'll see, Eastern time. So stick around, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is almost 7 past the hour. The momentous moment is not that far away. I think Senator Clinton is going to speak at 10:30. We have to do a break at 10:30, don't we? Oh, damn. Well, maybe she'll be a little bit late, and the applause and everything, we'll work it in. We'll work it in. I got an email during the break from Mark, who writes, Mike, I agree. Obama is, this is about insane John McCain. He says, Mike, I agree. Obama is neither a liberal nor a progressive. He might be just left of center in some issues, but that's meaningless considering the center has drifted so far to the right. But the joy of seeing John McCain being torn to little bloody gobbets by a suave, urbane Obama, who happens to be a black man, it just has to drive these pigs who long for the days when they'd be the master and their fields filled with contented darkies and their beds with, you know, of course, that McCain's great-great-whatever was a slaveholder and fought for the cause. Aside from that, anyone with half a brain could figure out how to push McCain's buttons and start the meltdown that would reveal that he is more than half a load short, not just a few bricks. It's unfortunate in some ways that the racist bastards no longer have the guts to use the word they so desperately want to use when referring to Obama, the word they turned to not all that long ago all the time, the N-word. No, the media won't even mention that the code exists. Of course, racism is just one of their illnesses. Sexism is the other, and it would have been Hillary. And if it would have been Hillary, it would have been the C-word. Mark. P.S. As far as McCain's father-in-law, who is an adulterous slug who bailed on his wife and child, falsified liquor purchase records, spent time in jail, and was eventually defended by William Rehnquist, another drug-addled freak. McCain not knowing about the mafia connection, I'm not surprised. Well, of course he knows about the mafia connection. Anyway, thanks, Mark. Now, McCain, who is absolutely certifiably nuts, I don't think there's any question. I really don't. This guy wants more war than Cheney ever dreamed of. That's why Cheney sent one of his pigs over to Georgia right before the Georgians invaded Ossetia and started killing civilians, and then the Russians had to respond. Which, by the way, don't you love the way media in this country reported that one? Huh? Russia invades! Not really, but this is America, and we are so used to having garbage stuffed in our ears and our eyes and our throats, it really doesn't matter, does it? But that's not what happened. But anyway, I digress. So Cindy McCain is over in Georgia. Doing what? Condoleezza Rice was there. Dick Cheney sent one of his piglets to go over and tell the Georgians right before all hell broke loose. Go ahead and attack. We're right behind you. In order to sway the election to McCain. For some reason, these psychotic Republicans figure that McCain has the better reputation of being a warmonger. Well, that's probably true. He knows how to kill people from the sky. He knows how to murder civilians. So, McCain's the boy. And this is all Dick Cheney wants. He wants as much blood and gore and death and destruction as possible because Cheney understands his own mortality and how fragile it is right now, you know, with all the heart problems, you know. So here we are. But let's step back from McCain for just a second. What about Barack Obama? Uh-oh. Eric writes, hey, Mike, my biggest fear concerning Obama is that if he is elected president, he just might start World War III, not with Iran, but with Russia. Take a look at his rhetoric concerning the recent Russian-Georgian conflict. Here's a couple of quotes. This is Brahma. Barack Obama, quote, for months, I've called for active international engagement to resolve the disputes over South Ossetia and Abkhazia. I made it crystal clear before, at the beginning of and during this conflict, that Georgia's territorial integrity must be respected and that Georgia should be integrated into the transatlantic institutions. I've condemned Russia aggression, and today I reiterate my demand that Russia abide by the ceasefire. Russia must know that its actions will have consequences. They will imperil the civil nuclear agreement and Russia's standing in the international community, including the NATO-Russia Council, and Russia's desire to participate in organizations like the World Trade Organization and the Organization of European something democracies. Just reading this. And finally, we must help Georgia rebuild that which has been destroyed. That's why I'm so proud to join my friend Senator Joe Biden in calling for an additional $1 billion in reconstruction assistance for the people of Georgia. So there we are. It's only we Americans who are dumber than dog snot because we don't have a media that will spoon feed us. We have to dig out the facts. And most of us have our ears and heads and eyes and whatever other body orifices they can reach filled by the fanatical right-wing nutballs in this country, whether on radio or television, with lies, distortions, untruths, half-truths, and nothing that makes any sense. The Russians attacked Georgia. Really? Is that what happened? But I thought the Georgians launched an attack into Ossetia. Yes, but Mike, Ossetia is not a real country. Oh, what is it? Um, Well, I can answer my own question. It's probably something like Kosovo. You know, that brand new country that used to be part of Serbia? Huh? And didn't exist until the until NATO and the EU and the United States decided it would exist. So Russia has the absolute temerity to figure that Ossetia, which is filled with Russians and is a breakaway province and has its own history and its own line of kings going back 90 million years or whatever, that they too, after they've been attacked by the Georgians, should have some sort of response. And so they counterattack. And the Georgians are looking around like, but we thought, but Dick Cheney's piglet said, but we, we're in trouble. And the trouble reached its apex today when the Russians declared Abkhazia and Ossetia, they acknowledge Abkhazia and Ossetia as two independent, independent what? Countries? Would it be countries? I don't know. I have no idea. Two independent states? I guess independence. Russia, on Tuesday, formally recognized the independence of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, the two enclaves in Georgia whose separatist aspirations stirred the fierce conflict this month. The step, which goes beyond Russia's military operation and is intended to consolidate its military success into permanent political gains, is viewed as highly provocative. In the West, it drew immediate condemnation from the United States and its allies. The usual nonsense. What did the shoe lady say? Stop! Senator Barack Obama, according to the New York Times, said the United States and its European allies should call for a United Nations Security Council meeting to issue a new condemnation of Russia's action. The presumptive Democratic presidential candidate said in a statement issued by his office that the United States should lead efforts to, quote, further isolate Russia internationally, end quote, and be prepared to, quote, review all aspects of relations with Russia, end quote. This is Barack Obama. This is your liberal. This is your progressive. This is the man who is going to reignite the Cold War, and very quickly it's going to be a foot race between him and McCain. Who can make the Russians jump first? This is crazy. This is just absolute madness. But so many people out there just say, well, Mike, you're just so wrong, because when Barack Obama is elected president, we are going to hold his feet to the fire. We are. And we are going to turn him into a liberal. We will.
Will appear when corporate cutthroats control your career. The threads are like the torn and ain't no way the ripple fix. Beware the microchip that replaces the 666. Which one? Are you a soldier who fights against fraud? Or pawns in this game on this government's chessboard? The signs are clearly defined. It's clearly your mind state. War is coming, my people, so stay awake.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Mother, do you think she's good enough?
Hillary countdown begins.
Do you think she's dangerous? Tell me.
Nah, she's not dangerous. 21 past, 22 past the hour. Oh, by the way, it's just kind of a footnote to all the really, really exciting things going on. As reported today in the New York Times, Dateline Kabul, Afghanistan, a United Nations human rights team has found what it calls convincing evidence that some 90 civilians, among them 60 children, were killed in airstrikes on a village in western Afghanistan last Thursday night. That's according to a statement issued by the United Nations mission in Kabul, making it almost certainly the deadliest case of civilian casualties caused by any United States military operation in Afghanistan since 2001. The United Nations team visited the scene and interviewed survivors and local officials and elders, getting a name, age, and gender of each person reported killed. These were in airstrikes, which occurred in the middle of the night. The numbers closely match those given by a government commission sent from Kabul to investigate the bombing, which put the total dead at up to 95. Mohammed Iqbal Safi, the head of the Parliamentary Defense Committee and a member of the government commission, said the 60 children were between the ages of 3 months and 16 years, all killed as they slept. He said, quote, "It was a heartbreaking scene," end quote. Mr. Safi added that the villagers were preparing for a ceremony the next morning in memory of a man who had died sometime before. Extended families from two tribes were visiting the village, and there were lights of fires as the adults were cooking food for the ceremony. How the military came to call in airstrikes on a civilian gathering still remains unclear. According to the villagers, according to Mr. Safi, their enemies gave false reports to Americans that foreign fighters were gathering in the village when the attack began. Well, you know, freedom isn't free. Right? Huh? 60 more dead children. Now, let me ask you something, Truth Seeker. If you have children, whether they're your actual children or your nieces and nephews or your grandchildren, what would you do? What would you do if your kids were all gathered together, a big family reunion, and they were all murdered in their sleep by a foreign invader? What would you do? Honest to Christ, think about this just for 10 seconds. I know we got to get to the fun part of the evening, the Hillary Clinton part. I know. But don't you understand? I mean, it's hard for me to understand. This is what we are now. We murder children in their sleep. Why are we in Afghanistan? What constitutes victory in Afghanistan? Bin Laden's not there. He's in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or Dubai or London or Mexico City. But he's goddamn sure not in a village with 60 sleeping children that we murdered.
Well, that's enough of Malloy tonight. I'm out of here. Son of a bitch, I can't listen to this every night. This man's driving me crazy. Whew. I'm gone. Goodbye. Let me go. Amscray. Ixnay on the Erdermay Oisnay. I'm out of here. Nah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. War is hell. Freedom ain't free. Jesus Christ. Do you realize what we're doing to ourselves? Do you realize what we've done in this country for the past 7 years? Do you realize the moral, ethical debt that we have built up? Do you realize that if there is any such a thing as karma, that when the invisible whip hits, it's going to be a monster? 60 more children murdered in their sleep. Between the ages of 3 months and 16 years.
time has come to clear the smog out of my eyes. Our money trained the madmen, our leaders gave them cash. They thought they could exploit them for their subterranean stash. When rulers kill their people, our leaders say it's of no concern to us. As long as we get our hands on that greasy, slimy stuff. For the love of oil, we lost 4,000 people. For the love of oil, how many more will die? For the love of oil, we're roasting our green planet. It's not worth all the tears I've had to cry.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Who's this goofy guy at the podium at the convention? He looks like Phil Harris. Yeah, I know. Who's Phil Harris? Never mind. Roz in Canada writes, Mike, regarding McCain, on your news break at the bottom of the hour, it was reported that McCain is against equal pay for women and a woman's right to choose an abortion. If that isn't enough to scare off at least the female voters, then I give up. I think he also is a woman hater, witnesses treatment toward both his wives. Roz. The women for McCain are, you know, they're like chickens for Colonel Sanders. It's just that's what we do in this country. Millions upon millions of Americans vote specifically and deliberately against their own best interests, economic interests, interests of political freedom, educational interests, job interests, everything. That's what happens in this country. Americans do that. Why? I don't know. Because so many Americans have been taught to hate themselves or to be self-defeating. What is wrong with the people in this country who keep doing this? Thomas Frank wrote a whole book about it. What's the matter with Kansas? Kansas?
Defiant Hillary Clinton loyalists marched through Denver today to vent anger at the outcome of the bitter Democratic primary race in a final show of support for their beaten idol.
This was in the Australian press.
We're here to say thank you to Hillary and to protest the fraud perpetrated on us by the Democratic National Committee, said Jeff Clunas, 51, of Seattle. It wasn't a contest. It was a foregone conclusion. The DNC leadership just decided that Barack Obama was going to win. Mr. Clunas, a lifelong Democrat, said he would boycott this year's election because of the perceived unfairness of Senator Clinton's defeat. He said, "It's going to be the first time since 1976 that I haven't voted. I just don't trust Obama. I think he'll do more harm than good." Lori Long, a 49-year-old human resources director for an L.A. nonprofit organization, said she felt betrayed by the leadership of the Democratic Party and did not trust Senator Obama. She said, "We're here to tell the Democratic leadership that it's not okay to ignore 18 million voices." She added, "I don't trust Obama. He flip-flops all the time. We don't know anything about his past. How do we know he's not some kind of militant? I'm voting for McCain."
Oh my God. I don't mean to be disrespectful of the was this in the Sydney Morning newspaper? I don't know. I just know it's an Australian article. I don't mean to be disrespectful to our brothers and sisters down under, but those were not Clinton supporters that were quoted in the article. Those are Rovian trolls. Those are things that creep out at night and leave slimy trails wherever they go. Incredible. This 18 million, I mean, there is something really whacked here, isn't there? I can remember voting in primaries before. Hell, I just voted in one this past. When did we vote, Kathy? When was our primary? Huh? And I voted in primaries before where the candidate I voted for, let me see, who would that be? Dennis Kucinich? Didn't get squat. But, I don't run screaming into the streets about how the Democratic National Committee screwed things up. Come on. Are people just coming out of the ether that the Democratic National Committee, like the Republican National Committee, neither one of those organizations are the least bit interested in democratic form of government in this country? Come on! Please wake up. Come out of your slumber. Please, people, wake up. Well, somebody, wake us all up. Please wake up. What's it going to take? A nuclear alarm clock? All right, what's going on in the Hillary saga? Bring some of that up. Is this the Hillary movie?
Woman into the White House. We weren't able to shatter that highest glass ceiling this time. Thanks to you, it's got about 18 million cracks.
All right, that's enough. Oh, my God, look at her.
I wonder if they'll play the part where she says we can't forget about Bobby Kennedy.
I wonder if they'll play the part where she says, I have a lot of experience. John McCain has a lot of experience. Barack Obama gave a speech. I wonder if that's in the movie. Oh, my God. Bring it up again. I want to hear some more of this. Bring it up again. Yeah. What's the music?
Okay, so she didn't become an astronaut, but she did reach for the stars.
Oh, something stop! The music sounds like a score from something. Something John Williams would have written. Oh, my God. Okay, so that's not live Hillary. That's the movie. There's a Hillary movie. We have to watch a movie. Do the Hillary supporters, are y'all getting, what is it y'all are looking for?
It's not closure.
No, it's, what's the other word?
Meditation?
No.
Medication.
Elimination. Parvination.
No. Reconciliation?
No.
Parity?
No.
Sanity?
What are they looking for? Oh my God, there's a shot of Bill. Look at Bill.
There's
oh, him. Oh, no, that's
the presidential contender for 2040
or something. Yeah, this is crazy. This is just insane. Let's bring that up.
Can I hear some Chelsea?
Yeah, go ahead.
To introduce my hero and my mother, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton.
All right. Rock. Rock on. Here we go. Here we go. Hut. Hillary. Yeah. Oh, she picked the orange jumpsuit. All right. Woo!
and gentlemen, the next president of the United States. Yeah. All right, all right. All right. We love you, Hillary. Yeah. Woo.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ah. Catharsis!
As a proud Democrat.
Woo! Emesis Basin.
As a proud senator from New York.
Woo-hoo!
A proud American.
Woo!
And a proud supporter of Barack Obama.
Yeah! Yeah! Goddamn right! Yay! 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 Oh my God, I love her. I just love her. Oh!
My friends.
My friends? Oh no.
It is time.
Woo-hoo!
To take back the country we love. And whether you voted for me or you voted for Barack, the time is now.
Yeah.
To unite.
Yeah.
As a single party with a single purpose.
And what shall we call ourselves? What shall we call ourselves? Unite as a single party.
I know. The Republicrats. No. The Democans. Oh, God. I love it.
We are on the same team. And none of us can afford to sit on the sidelines.
Woo!
This is a fight for the future, and it's a fight we must win together.
Yeah! It's a fight to the death. That's what it is. Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, this is good.
I haven't spent the past 35 years in the trenches advocating for children, campaigning for universal health care, helping parents balance work and family, and fighting for women's rights here at home and around the world to see another Republican in the White House squander our promise of a country
let's
that
do a break.
Really fulfills
okay,
the
Hillary,
of our people.
Hillary, I'm sorry, Hillary.
And you haven't.
Hillary, I'm sorry. We have to take a break here on the Malloy program and do some commercials and pay some bills. Stay where you are. I love that orange suit. Oh, my God. We'll be right back.
7 before the hour. Let's go back to Senator Clinton's speech. Quickly.
After 8 years of George Bush, people are hurting at home, and our standing has eroded around the world. We have a lot of work ahead of us. Jobs lost, houses gone, falling wages, rising prices, the Supreme Court in a right-wing headlock, and our government in partisan gridlock. The biggest deficit in our nation's history. Money borrowed from the Chinese to buy oil from the Saudis. Putin in Georgia, Iran in Iraq. I ran for president to renew the promise of America, to rebuild the middle class and sustain the American dream, to provide opportunity to those who are willing to work hard for it and have that work rewarded, so they could save for college, a home and retirement, afford gas and groceries, and have a little left over each month. To promote a clean energy economy that will create millions of green-collar jobs, to create a healthcare system that is universal, high quality, and affordable, so that every single parent knows their children will be taken care of. We want to create a world-class education system and make college affordable again, to fight for an America that is defined by deep and meaningful equality, from civil rights to labor rights, from women's rights to gay rights, from ending discrimination to promoting unionization, to providing help for the most important job there is, caring for our families. And to help every child
All right. Take it
to
down.
Make America once again a nation of immigrants.
I can't. It's one thing to, to tell the kinds of lies and BS that politicians tell. It's something else again to make it sound like it's some sort of an emotional breakthrough, like we're all in therapy or something, and. You know, all of a sudden we've figured it out. All those terrible things that have prevented us from being fully actualized human beings for all these years. Stop it. When Hillary Clinton talks about workers' rights, oh, come on, Hillary, for Christ's sake, you're a former board member of Walmart. God damn, what? I mean, come on. Yes, we're dumb as hell out here in America land, Hillary, but you know, there's a few of us in media who know the truth about all these things you're talking about, and, you know, we put it out there. I mean, your backers immediately try to gut us and turn us into placemats, but, you know, the truth just persists. Hillary Clinton in favor of universal health care? Is that what that thing was back in 1990? That was universal health care? If I remember, and I do remember because I went to D.C., I went up to the White House. I broadcast 3 shows for WSB from the old executive office building right on the White House grounds in George Stephanopoulos' office and talk to all these people about Hillary's health care. And I do remember what it was. And it was nothing. It was garbage. It was exactly what we have now, only worse. Universal health care is not single-payer health care. Most states have universal car insurance. How do you like that?
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. The Malloy Program on Novem Radio. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime situation, and I need catharsis. So let's go back to Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention.
The life of our nation. We've got to ensure that the choice we make in this election honors the sacrifices of all who came before us and will fill the lives of our children with possibility and hope. That is our duty, to build that bright future, to teach our children that in America there is no chasm too deep, no barrier too great, no ceiling too high. For all who work hard, who keep going, have faith in God, in our country, and each other, that is our mission, Democrats. Let's elect Barack Obama and Joe Biden for that future worthy.
Well, that bootstrap stuff is right. If you have boots. Oh, wait, it's over. Oh, my God, bring it up. Well, by God, I don't know about you, but I would imagine those Pumas got some catharsis there, don't you think? I mean, that was cathartic. Wasn't that catharsis, catharsisistic? Huh?
She looked like a pumpkin.
No, don't do that. There's no point for an odd feminine attack. So I'd say more like a traffic cone. But, no, I mean, that was good. That was really good.
It's very squash-like.
That was a good speech. And I think catharsis, there's Bill still sucking his lower lip. It was a good speech. Yeah, it was really, really, it was original. There were no cliches in it. It was,
I missed her scarf. Something green.
You're just. I've never seen you so cynical.
Stem-like or leaf-like, some foliage. We needed some foliage.
I've just never seen you, Catherine Bay, so cynical. All right. Well, now let's open up the phone lines, as they say in Real Talk Radio, and see if you all have any opinions about anything that occurred at the convention there. I am assuming that there's no need for us to talk about 60 murdered children in Afghanistan. That's just, you know, stuff happens when you're fighting for freedom, democracy, and that. So the phone number here is 800-989-1480 if you would like to jump in and join us. Let's start with Jack, who's calling from L.A., listening on KTLK. Jack, welcome to the program. Hey, Jack. All right, put him back on hold, please. Jack, you've got to sharpen up here a little bit if you want to be on the Malloy program. Did I give the phone number? Let me do it again. 800-989-1480. I think we finally reached that point, Kathy. No one is listening.
No one likes us anymore. See, we've become sort of outcasts out there because I call Hillary a pumpkin. And you talk about McCain.
Yeah.
I didn't say she is a pumpkin. I just don't think pumpkin is her color. Or cassava, or summer squash, or eggplant, or pretty much the whole spectrum. But she's not kidding about the sisterhood of the traveling pantsuits. I have not seen that much double knit since 1974.
Oh, yeah.
It was not a good year then.
Yeah.
Unless you were a Goodyear tire.
I'll tell you, I'm just exhausted. I'm just wrung out. I've never had so much catharsis at one time in my life. And I had 13 years of therapy. I know what it's like to really, you know, dump all your debris and empty your bags and. You know, I can remember gestalt moves in my therapist's office that I thought I wouldn't survive. That was just powerful stuff. But, I mean, Hillary Clinton's speech was just... Now, watch all the white guys on MSNBC and CNN, and, well, I guess there's a couple of black guys in there, too, but it'll be mostly white guys because, you know, this is a white thing. Watch them all talking about whether or not... Well, what is Chris Matthews saying? Can we just do 5 seconds of him? Bring him up.
Looking in the White House another 4 years, don't squander the promise of our country.
All right, that's enough. Oh, my God, he drives me crazy. All right, let's do your phone calls now. Tom is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on 92.1 The Mic. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm staying away from the television because I can't stand watching this stuff.
It's radioactive. Those rays come out and will, you know, give you all kinds of warts and stuff, you know.
Yes, it's just, you know, all the people I've seen, I think I will watch Biden tomorrow. I'm just curious if he's going to, you know, say anything straight about anything.
Well, is Biden speaking tomorrow?
Yeah, Wednesday night, I heard.
Oh.
So I might tune in just to see what he says. But, you know, I'm watching. I saw a few snippets. My roommate's been watching it, and I've gone through, and every now and then I see something. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to these people speak. It's like a high school civics class. And the other point I want to make is Bill Bradley mentioned the poor. Kucinich mentioned the poor. And, again, you know, I don't hear anyone talking about the poor. It's all the middle class. Let's talk to the middle class so we can get their votes so we can do this. Nobody ever talks about the poor.
It's garbage. It's all garbage. I really do believe, even though I get I really get my ass chewed on through email about, you know, my negative, nasty, ugly, un-American attitude. But I swear to God, the whole thing is just garbage. We are just so desperately in need of real left-wing populist slash socialist leadership, and all we can do is to continue to vomit these corporate candidates up on the stage and vomit the usual talking heads up onto cable TV and network TV. It's just bizarre. And in the meantime, that whole list of things, bad things that are happening in the United States, just continue to happen. I can't understand this. How did we get to be so willfully stupid? When did this happen?
Well, you know, can I just
help?
No, I am not a therapist. I'm not some superpower that can cure everybody of their childishness. But you know, you said something before, and I hear very few people say this, and it's one of the things I love about you. Is you mentioned, you know, these people, they talk about this or that. The problem is we have Gore Vidal, before we invaded Iraq. I heard him a couple times, and he just went straight to the point. We're a nation of infants. No politician is going to make the American people grow up and try to become adults.
No, that's a good point.
They're not going to do it.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember that riff by Gore Vidal. Yeah, it's just like
infantilism. He called it.
Yeah.
House Barack or anybody, you know, Kucinich, maybe because he's a dignified human being in his own right, maybe he would have. You know, there would have been some. Little sprinkles going off and affected a few people,
but the point that you're making and the point that Gore Vidal made is absolutely true. What happens to candidates, would-be candidates or would-be nominees who actually try to reach the American adult? What happens? They disappear.
And then,
if the American people don't shut them out, these crazy rat bastards like Charlie Gibson and Judas Stephanopoulos ask them the most asinine questions on these phony debates. Yes, we're infantilized and we're stuck there. We're not going to get out.
I know. You know, I apologize to any listeners who get offended by this, but, you know, I live as an artist, so I'm independent. I can say whatever I want. But, you know, it doesn't reach people because there's not enough adults in this nation. I hate to be so cruel or crude to any of you people that interpret it that way. It's reality.
Well,
grow up, and then the country will grow up. But to wait for someone to take care of us, it's not going to happen.
I hear you. Thanks, Tom. I got a boogie. Thanks. We'll be right back. Come on, let's hear what you got to say on the Malloy program.
So straight ahead, knock 'em dead. Pack your kit, choose your hypocrite.
Broadway to see you stop and play.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It is 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. John is calling from Orange County, California, listening to KTOK. John, welcome to the program.
Yes, hey. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John.
I want to concur with all your statements about the Democratic Convention. You're spot on, as usual, and don't let anybody tell you any differently. But, you know, there's such a surreal quality. This is a really a twilight zone convention that we're in right now.
It's a real what?
It is. It's a twilight zone convention.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about all this inside baseball stuff, you know, and meanwhile, right now, as we speak, the United States government, under the charge of this president, is trying to start World War III with Russia.
Right.
They've sent a warship, guided missile destroyer, and the guise of humanitarian aid to Georgia, to the port, one of the ports of Georgia,
In the Black Sea, which would be like, if the Russians did that, they would float something up to the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the equivalent.
And at the same time, we've also negotiated a deal with Poland to put missile defense in there, which is a direct slap in their face. I mean, we made promises. This president made promises that they weren't going to put NATO on their doorstep.
That's right.
And they completely lied to them. And, you know, this is all going on, and not one Democrat in this convention is speaking up and saying anything about this. But this has the potential to be really serious. The Russians aren't backing down anymore.
That's right. And John, you know what the rationale is from the Bush crime family? We made that promise to Gorbachev while there was still the Soviet Union. Now that there is no Soviet Union, it's the Russian Federation, and I don't even think that exists anymore. It's Russia. Then the promises, just like the SALT Treaty and all those negotiations with the Soviet Union over 50 years, they are all moot now because there's no more Soviet Union. You see how that works?
Yeah, it's another legal trick from these gang of neocon criminals.
That's it!
And I tell you, ever since 9/11, well, since this president's been in office, they've been trying to encircle Russia and get oil. You know, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, they're not even worried about Iran anymore. They're going right for Russia. They're going for the whole Caucasus, the Asian region of oil.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, they figure if Obama gets on there, if they mess things up so bad and set the region on fire with the Russians and everything else, and something happens to our ship and our boys over there by accident or whatever, Obama's going to have to deal with it. It's going to be he's going to inherit the war, just like LBJ did. And, and everything they're talking about will go by the by. It won't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But not one Democrat is speaking up about this.
Well, do you I know you can connect the dots here, John. Do you know why one Democrat, why there's not one Democrat speaking up? Because the difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, where it concerns American empire, American foreign policy, the difference between the two parties is pretty much zero. You know, we talk a lot on this program about the neoconservative point of view, but there's also the neoliberal point of view. And the neoliberalism states categorically that fomenting or fostering any kind of revolution or activity to destabilize a government in the hope of supplanting whatever's there with this free market democracy that does not work. It simply does not work. That any means or method of doing that is acceptable because the ultimate outcome, you see, on top of all the dead children, the ultimate outcome will be free markets. That's all neoliberalism cares about. All neoconservatism cares about is American empire. It's madness. If there's not a third way, then let's get the hell out of it. Let's just leave it. Leave it. Leave it to somebody else. I don't want the blood all over me. I just don't want it. You know what I'm saying, John?
I know exactly what you're saying, Mike. And, you know, I don't. You know, I would rather have Obama than McCain. I really would in a lot of ways. But we have to make that difference, and we need to speak up now and make sure that we steer this train back on the tracks. And, you know, it's going to take all of us speaking up and trying to get some sanity back or at least some discussion, because if you're waiting for Chris Matthews to talk about it, he's not.
Yeah.
And it's not going to come out of this convention, but we need to get them to start talking about what's important, or it's not going to matter who wins the election, because it will be predetermined. It'll be a predetermined new war, you know, that makes Iraq look like nothing. And I just want to say, you know, more power to you. I wish you were on all the stations.
Well, I wish that, too. Thanks, John. Thanks, John. I appreciate your checking in and what you had to say. Take care. Take care. We have a break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's 25 before the hour. According to the Associated Press, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev is warning his country may respond to a U.S. missile shield in Europe through military means. Medvedev says that the deployment of an anti-missile system close to Russian borders, quote, will of course create additional tensions. We will have to react somehow to react, of course, in a military way, end quote. Medvedev was quoted as saying Tuesday, reported as saying so by the RA Novosti news agency, Novosti. All right, somebody already told me how to pronounce that. I'm just learning how to say Medvedev properly. Russian officials have already warned of a military response to the U.S. plans, but the statement by the Russian leader was likely to further aggravate already tense relations with the West. The comments come after Medvedev recognized two Georgian regions as independent nations, prompting criticism from the U.S. and Europe. This is crazy. This is absolute madness. Do you realize that we are entering into a situation with the Russians not unlike that constituted the Cuban Missile Crisis almost 50 years ago? Oh, my God. Folks who live in some of the older neighborhoods, in-town neighborhoods around the country, you know, you live in a house on a lot that was built after World War II, you know, in the late 40s, early 50s. You might want to check around, if it's not obvious, and find out where the original owners to your house built their bomb shelter. Maybe it's back there in your backyard somewhere, and it's all grown over, and you know, take a metal detector out back and float it through your backyard. See if it starts to beep. If it does, that might be the metal handle on the lid to the bomb shelter. That was a big thing back then. Back to your phone calls. Adrienne is calling from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Adrienne, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Okay, hi. You know, you have a big following in the Bronx, and, you know, people I know that I work with and used to live by in Harlem, and we just love you, Mike.
Great. In the Bronx?
In the Bronx and Harlem. I work with people. I used to live in the Bronx. Oh. I just moved out here not too long ago. And, you know, one thing, maybe that's it. You know, it's always really bothered me. I love Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, well, if Barack Obama gets in, it'll show that we've come a long way to an African-American. And, you know, I'm not interested if you want real change, you have to be what stands for change. I mean, Condi Rice turns my stomach. That making history with her didn't in any way show much of anything as far as I'm concerned. But I was wondering about that, and I listened to your caller earlier. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're too young as a nation, because so often I've heard people saying, oh, Dennis Kucinich is a wonderful person, but he'll never win. I mean, I've even heard Miss Charles say that, Charlie Rangel, and I'm like, what do you mean he'll never win? He's a wonderful person, but the best people don't have a chance.
I know.
And the people who talk this, not like, I love Hillary Clinton. She's made history too, but she just said something then when she was talking about the Bush years. Well, Iran and Iraq and Putin in Georgia, and then sometimes you'll hear Barack Obama talk about, you know, we have to stop Iran from getting nukes, and nobody's ever proved that they're even trying. I mean, the IAEA says something totally different. And all of this ridiculous rhetoric is what really brought about this whole crisis in Iraq. The roots of this mess really started even before Bush got into office.
Sure.
And, you know, and it's just, it's very, very difficult to deal with it. I mean, you know, just once, I'd like to vote without holding my nose. I really, really would.
I hear you. You know, you can do that. What happens to us, though, in this country, with these long, drawn-out, 2-3-year-long campaigns for president, we have been reduced to the point in our thinking that we see political contests as sporting contests. And you know, this team is the Democrat. This team is the Republican. And by God, I want my team to win. Even if the figurehead for my team is going to cut my throat after I vote him or her into office, I still want my team to win. So when people say, you know, I'm tired of holding my nose and voting, there are candidates on the ballot in most states for whom you wouldn't have to hold your nose if you voted. I mean, in my state here in Georgia, for God's sake, we're going to have at least four, maybe five presidential candidates on our ballot. And so I've got a clear choice. I will either hold my nose and cut my own throat and vote for Obama, or I'll take a look at the other three. The hell with McCain. I'll look at the other three and say, wait a second. This one really believes in what I believe and really stands for liberal democratic principles. I think this time I'm not going to hold my nose and vote. So all I'm trying to say, Adrienne, is it is not so, we don't have to hold our nose and vote. You see what I'm saying? In some states, there are choices, right?
Yeah, there are.
Hey, wasn't that Chris's girlfriend's name on The Sopranos?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Whatever happened to her?
You know, one thing, I caught it sometimes. I'm not much of a television watcher, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Oh, I loved The Sopranos, though.
I swear
to God I did. Yeah.
No, but as I said, you know, because I heard you speaking earlier that maybe we're just not adults yet, as you know, as far as voting, you know, when the man quoted Gore Vidal, but
yeah.
Maybe
sure.
No.
I mean, we do what children do when it comes to selecting our candidates and then voting for them. We really do. I think an argument could be made that America is the most politically infantilized society out there. and we get, somebody said a long time ago, we get exactly the government that we deserve. I hope it changes. Adrienne, I got to move on. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Take care. Now, I asked about the character in The Sopranos because today, flipping through the channels, doing anything to get away from this this coverage. And during the day, what do you got, you know? Well, you got a lot of stuff. So I went to A&E, and sure enough, you know, they're doing the sanitized version of The Sopranos, which is weird. I mean, we followed that program for, what, 9 years? How long was it, Kathy? Nine long years? From beginning to end, they had, what, 6 seasons? But it spread over 9 years?
It was like 18 years, but it
seemed
like,
in dog years, it was forever. But I love that series. I don't know why. I have no idea why I loved it, but I loved it. I loved it. So now it's on A&E. And, I mean, that was a Sunday night thing the way, when I was a kid, Ed Sullivan was a Sunday night thing, right? Oh, man, how times change. But now it's on A&E, so I just happened to watch it today. That's all. No offense, Adrienne. I didn't mean like, oh, she's got a name, Adrienne. You know, I never mind. I'm just digging the hole deeper. Steve is calling from Allentown, PA, listening on the Internet. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. You got the biggest nads on radio. Don't ever change. We love you.
Oh, yeah? Well, thank you.
Okay, I am going to vote for Obama. Only to prolong the apocalypse for maybe a couple more years. This way, to own a house first.
Yeah.
And then, because I really don't think you can make a difference. I was caught up as a 21-year-old kid when Clinton first got on the scene. And he was on Arsenio playing the sax and doing all that good stuff. And,
That seems like such a long time ago, doesn't it?
It was cool, and that was the last time, his first presidency was the last time I voted for a major party. I've been voting independent and socialist since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Ralph doesn't, he's not on enough, he doesn't have any delegates. I mean,
it's impossible
for these people to win, they have no delegates.
Let me ask you something, though, because I'm assuming Adrienne is still listening, and she said, you know, that it's difficult because there's no choice. She said it's difficult to continue to hold your nose and vote. How does it feel to you? Adrienne, listen up. How does it feel to you to vote for someone that you don't have to hold your nose? How does it feel, Steve?
It felt great to vote for Nader the last 2 times. It felt good.
Even though you knew in your heart of hearts that he was not going to be president.
I voted honestly. Yeah, it felt good. This is going to hurt. You know, a couple things about Obama. I heard him pandering about the Iran thing.
Yeah.
I heard him pandering to the Israeli lobby.
Right.
Talking about the threat to Israel and all this, and pandering to those people who have these big fears that.
Hold on, Steve. Let me put you on hold. Let me just put you on hold. I got to do this break, and we'll come back. Remember where we are, because I always forget. We'll pick it up when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M. Baby, I believe that you're a feeling fine. Shake my body on the bad side. The blue moon in your eyes. Just sing now.
What's up this morning?
You got a blue moon.
Got a blue moon in your eyes.
Woke up this morning. The world turned upside down. Load of love, things ain't been the same. Sick of blues walking in a town. Tabby for the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Kathy Bay, who all, to some degree, some way, somehow, maybe just in an ethereal way, were involved in the program tonight. Let's go back to Steve, who had called in from Allentown, PA. All right, now.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, where were we?
He was talking about how Obama was talking about Iran and doing the usual song and dance, the usual tap dance in regard to their nuclear ambitions and all that, and how they have to behave. Talking about another country as if it was a child, oversimplifying it, you know, really reductionist. The same old stupid stuff. He's also talking about getting out of Iraq, but he's not really talking about getting out of Iraq because we can have bases there. He's never mentioned the goon squad that are hired over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's never talked about it. Ain't nobody's talking about the goon squad.
Oh, I know. I know. It's like it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And it's funny. You brought up that whole thing about immaturity. How we're not mature enough to elect Kucinich because he's elfish looking, even though he seems like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Iran will elect an elfish looking guy. They'll look beyond the good looks and the, you know, strapping man and handsome and all that. And they'll elect an elfish looking guy.
Yeah, well, I think most countries that practice any kind of an electoral system vote the policies of the candidate, not what the candidate looks like. It's only in this country. Everything has been reduced. You talked about reductivism. Everything has been reduced in this country to appearance, to form, not substance. And as a result, we get, I mean, how many times have you heard when they're talking about Barack Obama, a physical description of how thin and lithe and athletic and good looking and this and that? How many times have you heard, especially from me,
a materialistic racist country?
Well, that's true. But how many times have you heard from me when I'm talking about McCain, about he's stumpy and short and his face is bloated and it looks like he has some kind of a beast hanging on his cheek? Now, I don't think I'm doing it for any reason other than parody, or just because I'm kind of a dumbass when it comes to stuff like that. And I would just as soon, do an ad hominem attack against somebody like McCain, because there's no way to attack him on the basis of reality, because he doesn't live in a real world.
He does not live in a reality.
He's a haint. He comes from some graveyard somewhere and you know, just walks around talking about my friends. So, yeah, I get your point. Kucinich, look at Cynthia McKinney. You know,
Cynthia, good woman.
Yeah, Cynthia McKinney.
Democrats turn their back on her.
Yeah, she doesn't have the look. You know, if she looked like Michelle Obama, maybe she would have had a chance, but she doesn't. So I don't know. It's a mess. It sucks. I'm freaking out by it. Anyway, Steve.
I'm not going to say I'm actually going to vote for him until I see a debate. If it turns into one of these lame debates like the last two elections where they just, you know, dance around each other and nobody's hitting hard, then I couldn't imagine. What's the point? If Obama can't pick him apart and make him look like an absolute idiot on debates, then that's it. The whole damn thing is
So you're going to step back from your independent voting and vote for Barack Obama?
I will if I see that he really beats McCain up during the debate.
Okay, I hear you.
Because I mean, it's
I'll tell you why. For the same reason that when I go into the voting booth, God help me, I may do the same thing. It's because what I talked about the other night. You're terrified, and so am I.
Yeah, I got a kid.
You're terrified, right?
It's insane.
I understand.
Prolong it, and maybe somehow we can fix something. What else is?
I know.
What other choices? I love Ralph. He never gets on TV. He's not allowed on that fixed debate. He's not allowed on it. The state troopers escorted him away last time.
Yeah.
My God. The guy can't get on to debate. I mean, we can free country my ass.
That's America.
We can't see the other people debate these two clowns.
Yeah.
And you would spank them. Oh my God. How badly would Ralph have spanked Kerry and Bush?
Pretty badly. How old is your child, boy or girl?
I have a little girl. She'll be six in October.
Six in October.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is the world she's inheriting.
Yeah, my youngest just turned 4.
Oh, wow.
Little girl. Yeah, just turned 4. Of course, I have kids also 41, and I have grandchildren. But
oh,
I have,
my God.
Yeah. Don't try to figure it out. But my little girl just turned 4, and you know.
There's a lot at stake.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
There's a lot at stake. You know, in the end, the biggest problem is the biggest elephant in the room is the fact that the weapons industry and the oil companies. Yeah. It's these things can't have profit in weapons. You can't have it.
No, you can't.
It can't be. It has to be nationalized. But that's something that nobody can ever discuss. It's a big taboo.
Like impeachment,
we're
like
not mature enough. To
yeah,
handle
like
this conversation.
Like impeachment, Steve. It's off the table. Listen, thanks for checking in. All right.
All right, Mike. Talk to you soon.
All right. I appreciate what you had to say. I appreciate it. Hi. Well. Thanks for hanging out tonight. All right. I'm glad you did. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M Radio.